down and troubled, and you need some love and care, and nothing is going right.
So, have you ever felt like nothing? No, nothing is going right. Well, cheer up from Los Angeles. A big LA welcome to all my listeners out there in Radioland. I am Dave, the caregiver's caregiver, coming to you live globally through the famous worldwide Blog Talk Radio Network. Yes, folks, I'm the guy who's going to help you and guide you through this very difficult journey called caregiving. And we're going to do our very, very best to help you avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout. I know it sounds nasty every time I say it. We have an exciting show planned for you today. Janie Leidy, who has been an Emmy Award-winning singer-songwriter, and she also won a Grammy. So she's been doing all of this since the age of 12, and she's also a caregiver to her father, and that's why she's on the show, because he was suffering from ALS. So stay tuned. You do not want to miss this show. Now, I am your host, like I said, Dave Nassani, and this show is to caregivers of every kind. And the one thing we know about caregivers is that they are caring, they're selfless, they're sacrificial. Okay, that's three. Oh, yeah, and they are also very prone to burnout because they tend to put everyone else's needs above their own. Folks, come on, learn a lesson from the airlines. Remember every time you board a plane, you tune them out when they start to tell you that if there's an emergency, to put your own oxygen mask on first before you help your child with their mask? Well, the reason they tell you this is because they know that you will most likely black out if you do not put your needs above the needs of your loved ones. And then you wouldn't be of any help to anybody for anything. So guess what? Caregivers are exactly the same way, and that's why we're here. Now, we also talk about grief and loss here and the devastating effects that it have on all of us. It automatically throws us into this other thing called the grief process. Ouch. Unfortunately, folks, there's only one way out of the grief process, and that's to go through the grief process. You can't go around it, you can't go over it, you can't go under it, you got to go through it. And hopefully we can help you through your grief and your loss if you happen to feel like you're stuck. Now, if this is the first time tuning in, you can learn more about me and my show and my radio podcast, my books, my videos, my blog. I know, it sounds like it's all about me, but trust me, it's not. It's all about you. So just go to my website, DaveTheCaregiversCaregiver.com. Or the shortcut, just DaveNass.com. That's Nancy Apple Sam Sam, DaveNass.com. And when you go to my website, you will want to take my short quiz, Are You a Candidate for Burnout? And guess what? Just for doing that, I'm going to send you a free link to my first book, One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships. It's about my amazing wife's story and mine that's still getting rave reviews on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. So please don't miss out on this very informative quiz, and it will assess where you are in the burnout process. And the best part is you get my book absolutely free just for doing that. Amazon is still selling for almost 10 bucks. I mean, we're talking about a great value here. Okay, I want to take this moment to thank my last week's guest, model, singer, dancer, Lisa Michelle, who performs worldwide with the Chicago Honey Bears Song and Dance Show. And she was a former caregiver to her mother-in-law who had Alzheimer's. So, enough of that. We want to welcome my guest now. Let me unmute her. Janie, thank you for patiently sitting through all that first-time listener stuff.
That was wonderful. Hi, Dave.
Fun show. She's laughing because I had a... Never mind why she's laughing. Anyway, let's just get started. We're just going to have a lot of fun here. I can tell already. Now, Janie, why don't you just tell us who you are, a little bit about you and yourself, and who is Janie Leidy?
Well, I am a musician, a mom and a wife, daughter, sister, auntie, all of the above. And I have been
wear a lot of hats. A
singer-songwriter. Singer-songwriter since the age of 12. And I realized at a very early age that when I played and sang for people, it really raised their vibration. And so through the years, I ended up becoming a high school choir director and guitar teacher. For 26 years, really watched as music raised the vibration of my students, help them get better grades, help them feel more success in life. And now, as I've transitioned out of teaching and into speaking and singing and becoming an author, my passion for raising people's vibration through the magic of a song is just in full swing. And as I start to really get into caregiving for my dad and also for my mom now, I'm realizing the power that music has in raising their vibration. So it's kind of fun to have come, you know, sort of full swing here and still doing something that I started when I was 12.
Yeah, and for those of you out there who weren't around during the 70s and the 60s, I mean, I know what good vibrations are because I heard the Beach Boys sing about it. But tell us, for those who don't know what you're talking about when you say the vibrations.
Well, you know, it's funny. There is actually something that happens. We know that something happens in our heart when we hear music, but there really are studies that have proven, you know, activity that happens in the brain. Students, for instance, who have learning disabilities, when they play specifically classical music, there have been studies done with play music while those students are, say, taking a test, those that were listening to the classical music scored higher than those that weren't. And, you know, lots of measured studies. And I've seen it, you know, affect students over the years in huge ways with learning.
Yeah, and I just posted a video on my Facebook page yesterday about how putting headphones on an Alzheimer or dementia patient just makes them come alive. They just respond like nothing else can. So I know what you're saying is true.
Did you post the video of the older gentleman who had the headset on? And
yes.
I just watched that the other day, and it wasn't on your site, but that's cool that you posted
it.
Well,
I stole
it
from somebody else. That's why.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's really great.
Yeah, we have a lot of the same friends, so we probably saw the same video. So tell me, Janie, how did you become a caregiver, and what kind of disability does your dad have?
Well, I would say that a year ago Thanksgiving was when I realized that was the direction my life and my family's life was going to take. My dad was diagnosed with ALS and also has been diagnosed with a form of dementia. We're not sure if it's Alzheimer's or not. And in studying the two, what I'm finding is that people who have the gene or genetic makeup and end up with the ALS, usually they and other family members end up having some form of dementia. So there's some kind of connection there. I'm not sure what it is, but my mom is primary care person. I have five kids in my family, and we're really lucky because the youngest, Carol is great with like medical stuff and financial stuff. And I was the one who, you know, helped them move into their new place and found them their assisted living and, you know, got them all their new things. And my sister Susie is great with making us all laugh and just have fun when she's around. And then Bill lives, you know, right next door, 15 minutes out. So he's the one who's kind of the constant that can go, you know, check in. And then my oldest sister, Chris, is an occupational therapist. So we are so blessed because we have so many caregivers.
Yes, you are.
But I want to make this point to people who don't have a lot, you know, maybe they don't have anybody else in their family, is that it doesn't have to be your bloodline. There are caregivers out there all over the place with all kinds of skills that friends and relatives and even neighbors who can step in with their expertise and help. I just happen to be lucky that, you know, that they're all in my family.
Yes, and for those of you who have 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 brothers and sisters and not one of them will help you, just get over it. You know, what's the word I'm looking for? That resentment will just eat you alive. You have to just get over it. Not everyone has the gift of caregiving. Not everyone is as compassionate and giving and empathetic as others. Now, I realize that makes them kind of selfish, and we do live in a selfish world, and they were probably spoiled when they were raised or whatever. But, you know, there are other ways that they might be able to help. You know, you might say, well, I know you can't come here because you live so far away or because you're so busy because you have a full-time job. Send money, and then I can hire a caregiver to do what you would normally do if you wanted to. You know, creative ways like that. But don't feel bad or have resentment. I know that's almost an impossible thing to ask because it's like, my gosh, I'm sitting here. How was I voted to be the caregiver you know, handling 100% of the responsibilities and all these other guys get off scot-free. It's a serious issue, you know. So you are blessed to have all five of yours actively participating.
Yeah.
And my mother has beginning Alzheimer's, and me and my sister contribute equally. And my brother, who lives in, I forget where he lives, by the ocean somewhere, he comes like once a month, you know, and we don't make him feel guilty. We used to, but that didn't help.
Yeah.
So now we just take whatever he's willing to give, and, you know, that's the way it is. Well, let me ask you, and you might have already touched on this, your parents, I mean your mother, is she the primary caregiver, or she's kind of supporting all of you? What kind of shape is your mother in? You said you put them both in assisted living. So how's that working out?
It's an interesting story. My parents met when they were 5.
Wow.
And they are now 85. They've been married for 65 years. They are truly like the true love story. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. They each have challenges. My mom had tuberculosis in her eyes when she was a child, and so she was blind for 4 years. But when she was 5, she got her sight back through some operations. Now, however, her sight is almost completely gone. So it's hard to be a caregiver when you are challenged with sight. When my dad was diagnosed with ALS and some of the Alzheimer's stuff was coming on, we just realized that they were not going to be able to live on their own anymore. They lived in northern Maine on a lake, and we all went there every summer together and just spend family time together. You know, my dad was told by the doctor a year ago, November, that he really shouldn't be driving anymore. We were noticing signs of him, you know, having a little bit of difficulty in losing his balance, being really tired, and just realized that, you know, that it wasn't going to be possible for them to stay there alone anymore.
Sure.
And when you look back at Maine and the whole East Coast this winter, thank goodness we got them out of there before this winter, because, oh my goodness, it's been really difficult back there.
But Maine to Anchorage, you're telling me they're in Anchorage or no?
No, actually, I ended up choosing a place in Mesa, Arizona. We were really looking for somewhere that all the kids, you know, some of my family's in California, and then my brother was in Arizona, and I'm kind of the oddball out in Alaska. But see, eventually there'll be a winter home down in Arizona, so I'll be closer to them.
I see. Yes, Arizona is nice and warm.
Yeah.
So, well, that's good. That's good. So your mother, you care for your mother as well. You're caregivers to all of them, or both of them.
Yeah.
All two of them.
So I heard you last week talking with Lisa Michelle, talking about the difference between independent living and assisted living. So we found a building that they could live in independent living and then transition to assisted living. And on top of that, they have a memory care ward, which, you know, with the ALS and the memory stuff going on with my dad, we wanted them to be able to still be in one place, not have to, you know, look for another spot. So they are now transitioning into assisted living. And we are, you know, between the five of us, we are making visits every couple weeks. It seems that one of us is going and staying for 2 or 3 days and helping with all the different things that, you know, that you need to help with.
Well, that's smart, because the last thing you want to do is move them and then move them again, because it's such a traumatic experience to move them.
Right.
And so we are just grateful where my mother's at, in a assisted living in Glendale, and it's a great place. So we're very happy about that. When did you realize that you would kind of have to step in and take control of your dad's health care? Did you kind of talk about that?
When we realized that he wouldn't be able to drive anymore, and that he was, you know, just having a lot of difficulty physically and mentally, we decided that it was time to move them out of Maine and into a different kind of living situation. It was rough going, because, of course, you know, they love where they live. But when we were worried about the possibility of something happening, you know, while driving the truck, for instance. You know, it's very dangerous driving with you know, moose crossing the roads and snow and ice. And we just knew that it was time, especially when the doctor said, you know, you can't drive, Charles. You know, you need to give up your keys. And at that point, it's like, if you can't get to the store and you can't get your medicines and your food and care of all the different things that go into just living on your own. Mom can't drive because she can't see. It was time.
Yeah, and that's such a hard decision because it takes so much courage to confront your parents
mm-hmm.
because, you know, you still feel like a kid because they're your parents. But, you know, this role reversal thing where the parent becomes the child and the child becomes the parent.
Mm-hmm.
So many people wait until it's too late, wait until an accident, wait until somebody
mm-hmm.
gets killed, instead of risking the relationship. Yes, you have to risk
right.
the relationship. You have to risk some confrontation, because if you don't, you're going to be dealing with something that's a million times worse than that. So I would encourage everyone
right.
out there who's listening, you know if your parents should not be driving anymore. You know this,
right.
but you haven't done anything about it yet. Any
yeah.
advice for those people?
Well, I was talking to my little sister Carol this morning. We talk about five times a day. She lives in California, and I live in Alaska, so it's a little crazy.
You're a good
sister.
But yeah,
we're best. We call ourselves twins 2 years removed. But one of the things she reminded me of is the importance of sharing with people that if you see something happening with your parents, of course, you know, you don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, and you feel like, gosh, I don't want to take any freedoms away, or I don't want to move them halfway across the country and then they aren't where they want to be. You know, just the importance of recognizing that when you do notice something like that, things tend to move fairly quickly, a lot more quickly than you would think. And of course, that's not in all situations. But in our situation, we're so thankful that we all just really took the bull by the horns and said, you know, we want the best thing for mom and dad. And even though it's going to be difficult, we need to be brave and we need to be bold and we need to, you know, we did it all with love. And they knew that. And we told them that all the way through. And we still tell them that, you know, it's like, gosh, I know this is difficult, but, you know, we're doing everything we can for you because we love you so much. And, you know, we want to take care of you the way you took care of us. But
mm-hmm.
just noticing those signs and moving on them, if you feel like something's going on, you know, don't wait till the last minute, because that's not necessarily going to be the healthiest thing for them.
Sure. Well, we're up on our break, so let's take a break, and we will be back in a couple of minutes, so don't go away.
One arm, one leg, 100 words. Overcoming unbelievable hardships. Available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Hear what Lynn Barrington, best-selling author of Daddies and Daughters, published by Simon & Schuster, has to say about it. You think you have it bad? Read this book. This is a beautiful, genuine story told from the heart. It's inspiring and easy to read. When you finish this book, you will be able to look at your concerns in a new light. How about the reaction of 9-time Grammy Award winner, the godfather of contemporary gospel music, Andre Crouch? This book will be an encouragement to anyone who reads it. Charlene just won't let the promises of God go. She's hanging on to her positive, godly attitude, and I look forward to the day when she will receive all that she's believing that God will do for her. In the meantime, she has not let her circumstances get in the way of her faith. Her smile has gotten just as big as it was before her stroke. She's not just a survivor, she's more than a conqueror, as the Bible states. I'm glad to know her and her testimony. Read this book. You'll be encouraged regardless of what you're going through. So get your copy of One Arm, One Leg, and 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships today on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. But if you purchased it from the author's website, Dave and Charlene Nassani will personally autograph your own copy. Just go to DaveNass.com. That's Dave, and then N like Nancy, A like Apple, S like Sam, SlikeSam.com. DaveNass.com. Oh, and while you're on his website, don't forget to leave your name and email address so that Dave can send you his free report, 10 Mistakes All Caregivers Make That You Shouldn't, just for visiting the site. There are a lot of resources, videos, and links to his radio podcast. Again, DaveNass.com. That's NASS. Now let's rejoin Dave Nassani and his guest on Dave the Caregiver's Caregiver Program on the Worldwide Blog Talk Radio Network.
My name out loud. And we're back with Janie Lighty. Janie, I understand you are a musician. Now, has your music helped you be a more effective caregiver?
I would have to say a definite yes to that. It started probably when I was teaching, was when I realized how much music helped me be more effective with all kinds of situations. I know that, you know, teaching isn't caregiving necessarily, but there are a lot of kids who really are struggling, and who, some with, you know, diseases and things that they shouldn't be suffering at such an earlier age, some with, you know, all kinds of emotional things going on. And music really penetrates to the heart. It's something that
soothes the savage, the savage being.
Yeah. And, you know, my favorite example of a recent situation where I felt like music really stepped in and just brightened up a whole atmosphere. I had gone to see my dad and my mom in Arizona just this month. And I got there, and of course, I always have my guitar. And my dad looked down at my guitar, and I knew this moment was coming in some way, that he was not going to remember me, but I had no idea that it would come in the way that it came. He looked down at my guitar, and he said, "Oh, I didn't know you played the guitar."
Oh, boy.
And I just about dropped my heart on the floor because, my dad bought me my first guitar when I was 12, and he put me, you know, came to my talent shows. He put me through music college. He was for, you know, all of the CD releases and the songs written for him and about him. And I know that those are still in there, but for that moment, you know, he just was like, "Wow, I didn't know you played the guitar." And so the coolest thing was music, you know, it just saved the situation, because I took my guitar right out of the case. I'd just gotten there, but I took my guitar right out of the case, and I said, "Well, you want to hear a couple songs, Dad?" And he sat there in his, you know, in their living room, and I played some of the new stuff that I had written, and then we talked about some of the old stuff. And what was really absolutely so amazing to me and wonderful, as soon as I started to play, that vacant look that sometimes lives behind those eyes now was gone. And Dad was back, and he was completely with me. And he listened to all the songs. And Dave, I'm serious when I say this, he completely became fluid with his speech. He was very articulate. He was completely my dad.
Reconnected something up there.
Yes. Yeah,
that that was unplugged.
And it's that vibration. It's that, you know, vibration of of a song. And so to see that happen so quickly, just by pulling that guitar out and playing, just makes me wanna, you know, share as much as I can with him and with anyone who needs their vibration raised up.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if you know this or not, but I sing at the Santa Clarita Senior Center every Tuesday for the lunch hour from 11 to 1, and I do, you know, the standards, all the things that these older people remember. And my mother and I used to sing a lot of songs together, you know, in the 40s, Andrew Sisters, stuff like that. And after watching that video, I said, the next time I go there, I'm bringing some headphones and my iPod, and I'm going to see what happens, and we're going to sing again.
That's awesome.
That is so cool. Yeah. Well, that's wonderful.
Yeah, I listened to your story with Lisa Michelle last week about singing, and how you had requested a song, and the guy said, "Oh, well, here's the mic. You sing it."
Yeah,
that's,
you know,
wonderful. I love that.
He was the guy who sang, you know, and I was just raising my hand to request something, and he sticks the microphone in my face, says, "Here, you sing it." And I've been singing ever since.
Great.
He had me like sing 3-4 songs every week. And then when he kind of disappeared, now I'm the guy doing that. I've been doing it for a couple of years. I'm having so much fun. Tuesdays are just a ball for me. It's my day. And
I've gotten
a lot better because, you know, the more you sing, because the piano player only plays in a certain key, which is a little on the high side. So over the months, my voice has come up to his key, which I'm very grateful for, because I'm hitting notes I could not hit before.
Isn't that the coolest thing?
It is.
Wonderful.
I love
and if,
music.
If, and, by the way, if I ever make it to Santa Clarita, I'd love to join you and sit in for your set.
Oh, yes. And we'll give you your own set, too. Now, I think it's appropriate to maybe play a song that you have sang. I think it's the Survivor song, right?
Yes.
As opposed to the Angel song. So let me just play a few bars of hers. And here we go.
It wasn't long ago when things were looking black, when I fell on my knees to pray, just asking for another day. Life can take you by complete surprise. It's hard to believe I'm standing here. I've crossed so many miles, faced so many fears, and been a little more than shaken on these unexpected roads I've taken. One thing I have come to realize, I'm a survivor, and I'm not alone. I'm a survivor, I never give up hope.
Caregivers are survivors. I can't think of one other occupation that is as hard as caregiving. And tell me about that song. How did that song come about?
Well, I first wrote the song in 2007 when my dad was diagnosed with cancer, and my brother
Dave. He had cancer
Dave,
too? My gosh, he hasn't had a lot of luck, has he?
Well, he's a survivor. And he's actually, I think I would call him one of the luckiest men on earth for the love that he's had, you know, with his wife and his family. And but yeah, not so much luck with some of these other things. But you know, so my brother-in-law Dave had cancer, and my cousin Pam had cancer, and my dad had cancer. So all three of them, and I was invited to sing at a cancer relay down in the Bay Area of California. And they wanted me to sing a Melissa Etheridge song about her experience with cancer. Mm-hmm. And I tried to learn the song, and boy, I just am not Melissa Etheridge. I couldn't, it didn't fit my voice. And suddenly this huge burst of inspiration came through me, and I ended up writing this song about surviving. And I shared it with the folks down at the cancer relay, and they said, oh my goodness, we love it. Let's use this one instead. So that began, you know, that sort of started the journey of the song. And after singing it for the Survivor Luncheon and then at the big event down there for a couple of years, I also was asked to do it in front of 2,000 women in Alaska for one of our cancer runs. And then they used it for a PSA. And it just for some reason, it took on sort of a journey of its own. And when I was in Nashville recording my latest album 2 years ago, I revisited the song. And during the time my cousin Julie was surviving cancer, and as I looked at the song, I thought, you know what? This started about surviving cancer, but really, you know, whether we have cancer, ALS, some form of dementia, some form of anything, you know, any illness or any emotional situation, we're all survivors. We're all surviving something in this world. And, and you know, the whole theme behind the song originally was the reason we survive is because of the love. And, you know, I think that's my biggest message about what I feel like I'm doing as a caregiver is I'm just loving my dad with all my heart. Mm. And if that's through music, because music is my gift, then that's how I'm going to do it. You know, if it's through just being there and having a conversation, or sometimes just through sitting and being quiet together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's everyone has a gift, and you know, love is all we really need to do through all of this. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
So he's really responding to the music. Well, thank God, thank God. So let's take another break. We'll be back in a couple of minutes, and we've got more to talk about, so don't go away.
Tune in to Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver program, every Saturday at 3:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, only on the Worldwide Blog Talk Radio Network. The whole purpose of this show is to help support you in your caregiving responsibilities so that you take care of yourself first, so that you don't burn out, because your loved ones are counting on you to take care of them. And Dave Nassani should know. He's been a caregiver to his wife for over 19 years after she suffered a debilitating stroke that left her severely speech impaired and paralyzed on her right side. After a 2-year grieving period, she came to the realization that she had to play the cards that she was dealt. And so she decided to reinvent herself and attempt to do all the things that she was famous for doing before her stroke, like gourmet cooking, hosting dinner parties for 12, interior decorating, sewing, and too many other hobbies and activities to mention here. She now basically makes us normal people look like whiners and complainers by continuing to do almost everything she did before her stroke. But in essence, she does it with one arm and one leg tied behind her back, and she might as well have duct tape over her mouth too, since she can't speak. And she does it all with her amazing positive attitude and smile. So what's your excuse for not playing the cards that you were dealt and turning those lemons into lemonade? Dave has been so inspired by Charlene's attitude that it inspired him to reach out to caregivers by writing 3 books and starting this radio program to make sure that caregivers have a place to go to get the support that they need in order to avoid burnout and to get through the grief process. Now get ready to learn how you can avoid burnout and survive grief. It's Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver, here on the Worldwide Blog Talk Radio Network. And here again is your host, Dave Nassani.
And we're back with the amazing Janie Lighty. Janie, have you seen any of the studies done on how music can help boost brain activity?
Well, I talked earlier about the way that studies have been done with kids with disabilities and how, mm-hmm. you know, their test scores were higher when listening to certain kinds of music.
Yeah.
And since my dad was diagnosed with ALS and Alzheimer's, I've been, you know, just looking into different articles and things to better understand it. There's a guy named Oliver Sacks. He's a neurologist. I love what he says. He says, music evokes emotion, and emotion can bring with it memory. It brings back the feeling of life when nothing else can. By pairing music with everyday activities, patients can develop a rhythm that helps them to recall the memory of that activity, improving cognitive ability over time. Isn't that cool?
Yeah. And even with stroke victims, you know, a lot of people can't talk because they have aphasia or their speech has been affected. But all of a sudden, mm-hmm. I mean, my wife can sing Happy Birthday, you know.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Yeah. Says different side of the brain.
Yeah. And, you know, and I really think that it's not just the cognitive side of things that it can help. I really have seen something physical happen when my dad and my mom were, when they moved into the towers in Mesa where they're living. They have kind of become the favorite because they're so sweet together. They always hold each other's hands, and they're, you know, they're just truly madly and deeply in love with one another. And it's so evident, and they're always kind to everyone. And so this year for Valentine's, the sweetest thing happened. The Towers decided to have a prom, like a Valentine's Day prom. And they, within the building, they nominated three or four different couples for prom queen and king. So on Valentine's Day, the day before, actually, they had the dance. The day before the dance, Mom and Dad were trying to do their walk, which they're still trying to do a little walk around the building, but they were really having trouble. And my dad, you know, my dad's legs were giving in to the point where he was really falling, and my mom was really having to sort of brace him against the wall, you know, with her body, and very scary. And so, you know, they got some help and got back upstairs. And, you know, there've been a few days where Dad couldn't get out of bed, although thankfully there've been only a few. He's really been able to stay mobile, but he does have a lot of trouble with balancing and with staying on his feet. And so they went to the dance, and they won prom queen and king. And they literally, it was the most beautiful thing. They crowned them, and they had sashes. My mom and dad were dressed up in a suit and tie and a nice, you know, dress for mom. Anyway, they said, okay, it's time for the first dance. And mom and dad were both like, oh, gosh, I hope we can do this. I hope, because my mom is still very light on her feet. But, you know, they were worried about Dad. And so they got out there, and they danced the full dance. And then at the end of the evening, they wanted my mom and dad to do the final dance. And they did that one as well. One of them was like a 6'8" meter, and they were literally, I haven't seen my dad that light on his feet in I don't even know how long, but the place videotaped it and sent it, so, you know, we can see, and I'm invisibly, you can tell.
I'd love to see that. Put it on music, your Facebook.
Yeah, the music did something to you know, kind of change his motor muscles or something. It just blows my mind.
There was a video I saw on Facebook of this old guy. He had, like, walking braces, and he was in outside, music was playing, you know, like really lively music, and he just started dancing. It looked like he was gonna have a heart attack. He was dancing so much, and then he just threw his canes, he had a cane on each hand, just threw them up in the air and just started going at it. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's a very, very funny video.
I haven't. That sounds funny.
Have you seen how music helps your mom with being a caregiver for your dad? Because even though she needs care herself, she's kind of his caregiver, right? She can do a little more than he can do, right?
Yeah, yeah. So my mom has been a musician her whole life, too. She sings and she plays the piano. She's done it all by ear. She sang to us all through growing up, always every night when we went to bed, said our prayers and sang and giggled and laughed with us. And what I notice is that she's the one who will still get the boombox out and play the music. My sisters were laughing at me because when they went back and packed up the house for my parents, and my mom had put aside all of these things that were musts, you know, these are the things that are going with us, and so much of it was music, and they said, and for crying out loud, it was all your CDs and cassette tapes from over the years, you know, things that I had written and given to them. But I love that she will take those out and play them because it is familiar to him, and it does cognitively, I think, kind of bring him around and make him a little bit more, you know, just conversational. And she's even done something lately where they were having trouble watching TV because Dad just wasn't really following the characters as much as he used to and that sort of thing. And so she started pulling out musicals. And what's so cool about it is that I just read in this article yesterday that The Sound of Music and The Wizard of Oz are two of the best things to play for someone in that situation. And that's exactly what she had pulled out the other day. She said, yeah, I just thought I'd pull out like the Sound of Music and whatever. And they really, she said, fully engaged and enjoyed the evening with that.
Oh, cool. So she still plays the piano and stuff, huh?
She does, but, you know, of course, that was one of the things we left behind in their home because there wasn't room in this in the place here.
But I'm sure they have one in the lobby, don't they?
They do. They do. And I think my mom, you know, she's very modest, and so she doesn't feel like she really, you know, maybe is good enough to sit down at it and play. But she still plays beautifully. And we still sing duets together, and we never make it through because we always laugh as soon as we start, you know. but that's good, too. I mean, when we were there just this month, we were singing and laughing and playing, and, you know, and Dad was part of that. And, you know, it's just that's a nice thing to share.
Yeah, cherish these memories while you have them. Love that movie, the Notebook, you know, where great description of the challenges of Alzheimer's and some of the things that they don't know about as well, you know. Like, supposedly she couldn't play the piano, but she'd get to the end of the page and then she'd just stop, and then she kept going again, and he says, oh, well, I guess somebody turned the page. He says, no, that would be her memory. So, bittersweet. And I understand that you did a concert at the Assisted Living Center in Arizona right after you moved your parents there. Can you tell us a little about that? And do you have more plans to do those kinds of things? And the third part of this big question, tell us about the Grammy and the other award you won. The what was it? The Grammy and the Emmy?
Emmy. Yes.
Wow. All right. Go ahead.
Three things.
Yeah.
Okay, so I did do a concert for the Assisted Living Center when they first moved in. I just felt like I had my PA system with me at the time for some other stuff that was going on, and I just really wanted to do something, you know, to make a difference if I could before I left to come back to Alaska. And so I offered that up to the person in charge of things there, and they said, yes, we'd love that. So I did about an hour-long concert for probably about 25 of the folks there.
And that made your folks kind of celebrities too, didn't it?
Well, it did. Yeah. It did.
Oh, you're the one whose daughter sang that beautiful concert, and now they're celebrities.
Well, I kind of thought it might be a way to get them, you know, sort of a little bit known in the building and kind of start some relationships. But the other thing that was so cool is that some of the people that were listening that day are people who my parents said, you know, they don't remember anyone. They don't remember, you know, they're really going through sort of that end stage of Alzheimer's. And yet when I come back in the building, they'll go, oh, you're that music lady, or, oh, you're that guitar person. So there's, you know, that's pretty cool that they remember that. And again, it's music. It's that vibration. And yes, I definitely have plans to do more of that. In fact, this month, starting April, I'm doing a tour on Vashon Island in Washington. And I have some house concerts and evening performances at restaurant and that sort of thing, and a radio show one of the mornings. And then I have an hour-long concert at their assisted living facility on Saturday afternoon that day. So I'm very excited about that. And and the third question, so the Emmy and the Grammy, I have this really, really big imagination, and I would just imagine through the years, you know, winning things like that. I don't know why. I guess when you're a musician, you do. And anyway, back in 1999, the Grammy Foundation decided to allow schools to be part of their awards ceremony.
Really?
And so the real Grammy, the real deal. And if you were a high school choir, guitar, orchestra, band, you know, director, you could send in tapes and information about your program, about the fine arts program. And 1999, we won a Grammy for our choir or for our fine arts program.
Oh my gosh!
So that was very, very cool. Thank you, thank you. It was amazing what it did for those students. It totally changed the entire journey of our school because everyone then like stepped up higher because
mm-hmm.
of it. And then in 2004, I had been asked to write a song for a public service announcement about tolerance. And so I wrote it and arranged it for my choir, kind of a four-part harmony thing. And it won some Goldie Awards, which are the Alaska Awards in
mm-hmm.
television, and then got nominated for an Emmy. So I actually got to win this Emmy for music composition, which is just absolutely unreal and crazy,
wow.
but very fun and exciting.
Wow. You know, you should post those videos on your Facebook page. Because I would love to see them. Do they still exist?
I need to get better at posting these things. I'm actually working with Cynthia Lay right now.
Well, she's
Shout
a good
to
person
Cynthia.
To work with. She's helped
oh,
me a lot.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. And so she and I have been working on my new website, and we are very close to launching. In fact, I think probably within a week we will have it up and running. So I'll have some more of those videos and audios and things like that, hopefully.
Well, that's great. Now, what if somebody wants to listen to your CD or get a hold of you, or, you know, they just want to find out more about the vibrations of music? What are all of your contact information that we can give them?
The best one would be www.janielighty.com. J-A-N as in Nancy, I-E, Lighty, L-I-D as in David, E-Y, .com.
Okay.
And from there, they can navigate to Facebook, Twitter,
that'll
LinkedIn.
That'll take you everywhere. Okay.
Yes.
Well, that's awesome. Well, Janie, we've almost run out of time, but I want to save some time. You have one more song that I'd like to play and close out the show with. But thank you again for allowing me to interview you, and I was actually supposed to have another guest on, but they got sick, and I couldn't hear their voice because they were so sick. And so I'm going to have them another time. Debbie Rivnop. I'm so bad. And but I want to thank you for agreeing to come in at the last minute the way you did. And also to my listening audience for tuning in today and every Wednesday live at noon Pacific Standard Time. And don't forget that all of our shows are recorded podcasts, so you can listen on the same link any time of the day or night, 24/7. And they're also on our website, DaveTheCaregiversCaregiver.com. And remember that shortcut, DaveNass.com, N-A-S-S, Nancy Apple Sam Sam. And don't forget that our website has everything you need. It has the uplifting interviews tab, which has all of our interviews. We've been on the air just about a year now, so we've got about 52, one for every week, interviews that are just amazing. And I'm not saying that because they're my own. Others have said that. But by the way, when you're on my site, please don't forget to take the quiz, Are You a Candidate for Burnout?, so you can assess where you are in the burnout process and get your free copy of my book, One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships, and you'll be encouraged by doing that. Now, so until next week, may God richly bless you, and I will end the show with Janie's song. I think we call it the Angel Song. What's the official title?
It is called Something About an Angel, and I really would love to dedicate it to all you caregivers out there because you truly are angels.
And before I play it, what was your inspiration in writing this song? Tell us a little bit about it so we can appreciate the words and everything.
I actually had someone tell me back in 1997 that they thought I had an angelic aura about me. If they only knew. And that the next thing I should write about should be angels. And when I wrote the song, it was really inspired by a young girl who was in a coma, and a friend of a friend, friend of the family. She was in a coma for several months, and we were all wearing angel pins and just praying for her to come out of the coma. And so I dedicated the song to her in the studio, and this is just absolutely incredible. And of course, I'm just one cog in the wheel of all the people that were praying for her. But the next day she came out of her coma, and she's now living a full life. And she has two children. She's married. She can drive a car. That was one thing she was like, And so it's beautiful. But that's just one in so many stories. So I pray that this song touches somebody's heart and just makes their day better and raises their vibration.
And I bet this is her favorite song. Okay, here we go. And let me just say my goodbye to you. Janie, thanks again for coming on the show, and God bless you all.
Thank you, Dave.
There's something about an angel when my heart is falling down. You get me back on solid ground. There's something about an angel when I've lost the strength to try. You give me courage for the fight. And without
Thank you for joining Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Show. Make sure you tune in every Wednesday at noon Pacific, 3 o'clock Eastern, to catch more of Dave and his tips to caregivers on avoiding burnout and surviving the grief process, right here on the Worldwide Blog Talk Radio Network.